We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back to the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. And as always, you people are stepping up in a big way. We have donated, you have donated, upwards of 200,000 meals to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, helping raise money here to provide meals in local communities in 2023. To jump in, you can text the word NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. You can call the call center here, 412-663-5664, or you can go online. A great way to get this done, the Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center at 93.7 The Fan, the Feed the Need page. We've got Feeding All Yins t-shirts from Steel City Clothing Company. Purchase those on the Feed the Need webpage. And our incentive this hour, the noon hour, is a Cody Sable painting. And Folsy, you're telling me this man is a finger painter,
yes,
who does sports portraits and such, and he's going to join us in a while?
Anything you want, pretty much. I mean, he's done things for athletes, for pretty much everybody in the sports sphere and beyond.
Yeah.
He's incredibly talented.
And finger painting, very therapeutic, I remember, from my youth. I can't wait to talk to that guy, and I can't wait to talk to this man right here, Kahari Mosley, Pittsburgh City Council candidate, proud Perry, then Perry Traditional Academy graduate, basketball player on the 1991 state championship team.
That's right.
Is that the team that beat Calabria?
Yes, yeah, in the Western Final up at the old Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. That was a heck of a game.
I
had nothing to do with the win. That was Will Macon, Malik Hightower, and Eddie Benton. But
I had
a front row seat.
That gym. I didn't have any friends yet in Pittsburgh. Had just moved here from Buffalo. We were just talking about Buffalo. You had an aunt from Amherst, where I grew up. And I remember being very hot in that gym. I remember sitting way up high by myself, but squeezed in with a million people, it felt like. And it was a tremendous basketball game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Eddie Benton was the star.
Yeah, he came off and hit those three-pointers, came off the bench. And, you know, he's still a very close friend of mine. And we grew up together in Manchester. And, he came off the bench and really turned the tide on that game. But Dante Calabria had a heck of a game.
I think he
had about 35, 36 points that night.
It was one of those legendary two teams, yes, but within that, a Dominique Wilkins, Larry Bird type battle going on, right?
Oh, it was great.
And the news here, Kahari, is that your campaign is donating 750 meals.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're really, you know, happy to be here. I want to thank Giant Eagle for pulling this together. Obviously the Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank is a very important institution in the Pittsburgh area. And we know, particularly since the pandemic, food insecurity, has really risen on all of our radars as something that, you know, we all need to focus on. And we wanted to just show an example of how we all can come together and join along with you to raise this issue and do our part, you know, even if it's a small part, you know, to help, address hunger here in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I think there's sometimes a lack of awareness of it, and also that it can suddenly arise for somebody, especially you mentioned in these times, coming off the pandemic here, and all of a sudden, I don't have a job, all of a sudden, somebody got sick, all of a sudden, I find myself in very dire circumstances, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and in the district, you know, that I'm running in, Pittsburgh City Council District 9, you know, we have communities like Homewood, Larmer, Lincoln, Leamington, you know, where these issues are acute. You know, we have food deserts, you know, we have folks who are underemployed, we have folks facing unemployment, and you know, we know all these things contribute to food insecurity. So I think it's, you know, very important. I applaud, you know, Pittsburgh City Council for recently, you know, creating, the Food Justice Fund, and they've allocated $3 million of city funds to address food insecurity at the municipal level. And I think, you know, as you said, as we learn more about, you know, how many people are actually affected by this, You know, we learned that we can really transform people's lives in a positive way by all stepping up.
And you can step up by texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. And I mentioned the noon hour incentive, a Cody Sable painting of perhaps a local sports figure, something like that. For your chance at that, it's a $50 donation, which is worth 150 meals. You and I were talking, Kahari, about your time at Perry, and one of my most memorable stories, interviews that I ever did, and I just told you, I'll never forget pulling up to the school. I was a young Cub reporter, and I got assigned to do a story. I wouldn't be surprised if it was about the 91 team, but it was somewhere in there about this legendary coach named Chuck Franklin, and I sat down with him. And I've done a million interviews. Most of them I've forgotten. Most of the images in my mind forgotten. I can transport myself back to sitting in that office with that guy. He is a memorable character.
Oh yeah, without question. You know, he's still, you know, one of the most important mentors I've ever had in life. You know, I'll never forget being in ninth grade, trying out for the team, and that first tryout, and then making the team, and that first practice. You know, a lot of colorful language,
you know,
definitely not the coaching styles that we're used to, you know, in 2023.
Right.
But in late 1990 and early 1991, man, he was just such a interesting, you know, person. And he definitely held us accountable. We learned so much about basketball and we learned a lot about life. You know, we were a group of kids from all over the city because Perry was a magnet school at the time. You know, I'm from the north side, but we had kids from the east side, from the south side, you know, all over. And we really came together, you know, as a family that year, you know, and made history. I'll never forget, you know, being in Hershey, you know, the night when we beat Pottstown. And that was truly vindication for him because he, you know, had been there, you know, once or twice before. You know, we finally, you know, climbed to the top of the mountain. But I just saw him a couple months ago. When I was at a campaign event, you know, he's a father figure.
Yes. It seemed like, and I could sense back then that he really cared about his guys.
Yeah, without question. You know, he would hold us accountable, make sure that we were in class. You know, there was none of that, you know, basket weaving, you know, stuff with, you know, with Coach Franklin. You know, he made sure that, you know, we all, you know, had solid grades. We went to class. But he also made sure that we, you know, we played the game, you know, the right way. You know, it wasn't a one-on-one game. You know, we had a scoring system, you know, it was a unique kind of scoring system that he had where we got rated after every game. And the highest scoring thing you could do within a game was take a charge.
I was just going to guess that. Take a charge, yeah.
You get 5 points for taking a charge.
How many points did you get for that?
Not too many. I wasn't much of a defensive player. I was a long-range shooter. I was probably 25 years, you know, ahead of my time. Now in today's game,
right?
I think I'd be a lot more effective player than I was back in the early 90s.
Well, the three-point line was still new then. I'm so old that we didn't have a three-point line.
Right,
1983 high school grad, we had no three-point line. Not that I would have taken advantage of it, but we didn't have one. Kahari, thank you so much for joining us here and 750 meals from your campaign. Man, you stepped to the plate and we appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. That is Kahari Mosley, Pittsburgh City Council candidate. Your chance to step up could be right now. Text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. Folsey, where do we transition to from here? You're running the show.
Our great listener that listens all the time, Scott Harbaugh, right now.
Oh, wow. Scott Harbaugh, a weather person. And one who uses the word incrinculant. He used it on the air, this guy did. He's a miracle worker, Scott Harbaugh. I think he's a big listener to the show. For all I know, he may like Ron a lot better than me. But in the meantime, food insecurity, according to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, continues to plague Western Pennsylvania and Odyssey Pittsburgh. That's us, is once again partnering with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank to help raise money to provide meals in local communities in 2023. All right, Folsey, let's bring on Mr. Scott Harbaugh. Scott, how are you, sir?
Mr. Starkey, I am well. Congratulations on an absolutely incrinculant event today.
Well, thank you. It's everyone else out there that's doing this. When I say community service to you, what comes to mind?
Just being there and helping out. I mean, the food bank in particular, since I moved back to Pittsburgh in 2005, I've been involved with their Open Bowls event before, which just they had the first one back in person this year since the pandemic. So that was just last week. It was great to have the hundreds and hundreds of people back out in person and just like doing things that you can put your stamp on something. It's not just about making a donation or putting in time. It's feeling like you're actually contributing to something in the long haul. That, to me, is community service.
I was just talking to Folsey there for a second, Scott, to get clear on something. So you have used the word incrinculant. Let's get to that for a minute. You've used that on the air, have you not? And you've certainly used it on Twitter, and I'm honored by that.
Well, you know, when you come up with a word that deserves the kind of attention that incrinculant deserves, it needs to be on the air. Yeah, I mean, Matt knows I'm a dedicated listener to this show. I started in sports broadcasting in the early 90s, so sports is still in my heart. And you and Ron are my routine on the way home from work in the morning. So, yeah, when I heard you were using the word and trying to get it into the Merriam-Webster dictionary vernacular, I'm like, well, let's see what I can do to help. So, yes, I did tweet it out one morning. I know you saw that. And then I used it on the air one morning, too, during my last weather hit of the morning. And I just love hearing it because it makes sense in every way that you've meant it.
It all helps. I'll tell you this much, and we're moving in the right direction. It's WPXI, and I'm wondering what the proper phrase is these days, Scott. Is it weather person, or are you insulted by that? Is it meteorologist? Is there another word I can use? How should I refer to you?
Weather geek, dweeb.
Dweeb, weather dweeb, okay.
Weather dweeb. Yeah, I mean, there are people that get hung up on meteorologists. I am definitely not one of them.
Hold on a second here, Folsey's in my ear. Did you refer to Folsey as Folsey when you called in?
I did.
I think he's honored by that. Yes, Folsey?
Of course, yes. But I'm not surprised by it because as I knew that Scott is a loyal listener. And so he hears Folsey probably 20 times a day.
Do you get any Harbaugh flack because of your last name and how much the Harbaughs are disliked in Pittsburgh, Scott?
All the time. And the fact that I'm not related to them in any way, shape, or form makes it worse. I'm like, look, I was born here. I was raised here. I have nothing to do with those guys. But yeah, I get flack about that all the time.
I'm sorry to hear that because we love you on this show. We're happy to have you today on this show on the Nemacolin Fan Hotline and keep up the great work, not only in all the things that you do as a weather dweeb, but also pushing the word incrinculant, community service, as we talked about, and listening to Cook and Joe. We love it. Thank you, Scott.
Honored to be had. I'm just sorry you had to step from Wehner and Shelty in 1 hour to me in the next hour. I apologize.
It was a step up. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Scott Harbaugh.
He's the man.
On the Nemacolin Fan Hotline, Nemacolin around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. You can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up, Joe Block is going to join us, and I believe that's next. Yes, Folsey?
Yes, it is.
I'm really looking forward to this Pirates season in a way that I haven't. Like last year, it felt like it was totally prospect-related. Like, what are we going to see from some of these guys who are going to come up? And we saw O'Neill Cruz when he did. Mm-hmm. This year, it feels more I still feel that way, but it feels more geared toward win-loss. And I got 74 wins. How many for you?
72.
We could split the difference and both pick 73.
Want to do that?
Yeah.
That's our show prediction, 73 wins.
Are we going to call Ron for his prediction before the season tomorrow?
We have to.
Yeah, I think we should. Although I don't really want to talk to him this week. Do you?
Well, I have been texting him because he's been helping us with booking guests for Feed the Need.
He's been unbelievable with that.
Yes.
Yes, and of course I'm kidding. I love to talk to Ron at any time, Folsey. Right. right?
Of course.
Nice to get a break, I'm sure.
I mean,
it is.
I'm sure Ron doesn't want to talk. Yeah, he doesn't want to talk
me.
To us.
Yes.
He's on vacation. He's
it's like
in
an
Florida.
Old married couple, you
don't
know?
Want to talk to
One
that
One of them
person?
Goes in the basement for, you know, a day or two to get away from the other. All right. Step on up to the plate here. Text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. You can donate through our call center, 412-663-5664. Or, and this is easy enough for anybody, you can go to 937thefan.com, the Feed the Need page, the Metropolitan Window Company online donation center. It's all there. You have provided now upwards of 200,000 meals for the Pittsburgh Community Food Bank to dole out, and you're doing an incredible job. Let's keep it going. Joe Block, next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. We're going to go on right up to 6 p.m. We're going to get a tote board update soon. We're up around 200,000 meals donated by you folks out there, including, I might add, a $500 donation we just got from Mr. Reuter Plumbing.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
I was going to say that, Ballsy, but I'm glad you did. Very kindly, may I add to that?
Yes.
Of course, Mr. Reuter, a wonderful patron of the show. Ron would agree, wouldn't he, Ballsy?
Oh, he definitely would.
Let's go back out to the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. You can join in here, by the way, by texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. And the man on the Nemecolon fan hotline is a man you know well, Joe Block of the Pirates broadcast team. And Joe, we really appreciate you taking time for what I'm sure is a busy day of prep for tomorrow by joining us today. And I know, like a lot of people over there, that you've been involved in Pirates charities, I'm sure stuff with the Miracle League fields, all of that community service, I would guess, is pretty important to you.
Yeah, it's Joe, thanks for having me on, first of all. Yeah, I think it's one of the great benefits that we have of being in these positions, you and I, being able to be on the radio and being able to help people because of that a little bit. So. Yeah, when I heard that you guys were doing this, I thought that was fantastic. Lisa Scales runs such a great organization there, and you know, just it helps a lot of our neighbors all the time. And when I was growing up, there was a time where I needed our family needed a little help, and I think it's just something that you know, you can always help your neighbor, and this is a good way to do it and feel good about it too.
Yeah, I was talking to Greg Brown earlier, and we found ourselves agreeing that even though there's lots of negative stories, it seems, out there about athletes, Joe, it feels like in the clubhouses, the locker rooms I've been in, where 99.5%, if not higher, the people in there are good people willing to give and give back. I'm sure you've had a similar experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many of the guys find themselves so fortunate, especially the ones that, you know, make those big contracts. You know, this is a dream come true. They have security for their families. But so many of the professional athletes, as you know, too, they're not going to boast that they've done something. They're not going to send out on social media how great they are and what they did for somebody else. They just do it. And I think that's why so much of this stuff seems negative talk, because the real positive talk doesn't get talked about because they don't want to talk about it. They just want to do it. So I think that's the case with this team or any team that you're around, that there's a lot of guys that, you know, consider themselves very fortunate and want to give back in some way. And this is one of those ways that you guys are doing it. I'm just glad to be a tiny part of it here this afternoon.
Familiar voice and Joe Block. Let's get to a little baseball. How would you size up the pitching matchup for tomorrow?
All right, let me ask. Mitch, what do you think? we're here at Great American Ballpark right now. The Pirates are having a, a workout. But first of all, it's two really good young pitchers who both started the year kind of rough last year and then really came on. First for Mitch Keller of the Pirates, as everybody knows, watching the games, you know, got off to that rough start, got knocked out of the rotation, and comes back, adopts a sinker, and then from that point on, he posted a 3.22 ERA his final 22 starts. That would be good for 12th in the league. So, he's an all-star waiting to happen this year. And then on the other side, Cincinnati's Hunter Green, he's 23. He throws 100 miles an hour, so that gets your attention. And he came on last year and really got beaten up pretty good, you know, the first 7-8 starts of the year. He comes to Pittsburgh, and remember, he had that no-hitter that he lost. Pitching into the 8th inning, Pirates won in a no-hitter. And then from that point on, he was pretty good. He had a low 3 ERA as well the rest of the year. So it's going to be fun to watch those two guys go, I think, probably. A lower scoring affair, at least when those two guys are on the mound.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Hunter Green's numbers here. His ERA was basically zero from the time of the. Now he missed some starts in September, but he had one start, no runs in September, 17 innings, two earned runs in August, in September, and then one start in October, where he had no earned runs. He had an ERA of almost zero for that time. But let's get to the Pirates' second starter that we just heard through our friend Folsey, is Rich Hill. What did you notice about him in spring training?
He's a wonder. The game, of course, we'll always remember when Josh Harrison hits the home run in the 10th inning and breaks up Hill's no-hitter. Hill's still pitching in the 10th, and the Pirates beat the Dodgers in that game. Well, he's 43. He's baseball's oldest player. And he's going to throw 86, 88, and then going to give you that curveball. He's got a couple other features, but that's primarily it. And for all those years, that, especially lately, where the Pirates have been frustrated by Adam Wainwright, you think about that. Now, how does this guy do it? Well, now we get to see a guy on our side that's kind of like that, a left-handed version. He was going to be able to change speeds, locate, and really flummox some other hitters. And he was fun to watch in the spring because of that, because it's not coming out 100 miles an hour like everybody else. He's left-handed, so it's going to be a great, really good change of pace in the rotation for the Pirates, too.
Joe, we appreciate you joining us on this day for sure. We'll be talking to you down the road, and we'll be listening to you. It all gets started tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Oh, anytime. Thanks, Joe.
It's the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, donating meals to the Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, which then go out to the public, to people in need. And the food bank tells us that 1 in 9 of our neighbors is currently facing food insecurity. Every $1 can provide up to 3 healthy meals. So again, NEED, need to 50155. And if this were a baseball game, this 4-hour show would be in, I don't know, right around the 6th or 7th inning here, Folsey, which means it's time to go to the bullpen. So let's do that. Let's go to Matt Capps, former Pirate reliever of some repute, also played for the Minnesota Twins. He played for Washington, and now he's part of the broadcast team. Matt, really appreciate you joining us on this day. Is there any particular form of community service that you take up? Any cause, anything in particular? And just generally, what does that phrase mean to you?
Yeah, there is. the good Lord blessed me with the ability to play a wonderful game of baseball. And throughout my career and my life, I've accrued a lot of knowledge around the sport. And I try to help impact lives in a positive way through the game. I do a lot of volunteer coaching. Started my own league. I live down in Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta now. Started a program here. Just, you know, Atlanta is so competitive in the youth baseball world. Kind of rubbed me the wrong way, the way a lot of people do things. So I decided to get involved and do my own stuff. And we've got 11 teams and kids. And just try to make it fun, try to be that steady, consistent kind of model that I think kids need. You know, you never know what kids are getting at home or away from the field or at school. Everybody's got good intentions, myself included, and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but just try to be consistent with how I speak and act and show up and be present. And, you know, show them that baseball can be fun. We can learn something. We can learn an awful lot about life. And, you know, baseball in particular, more than a lot of other sports, is a game built on failure. So the lessons that you can learn through baseball, hey, I'm gonna get beat. I'm going to lose. The lessons there are, you know, get back in the box. Try again. Throw another pitch. Try again. Show up tomorrow. It's a new game. You know, and those can translate to life in business and relationships and every aspect of life. You just got to put one foot in front of the other and keep trudging forward. So I spend a lot of my time, a couple of days a week, actually about 5 days a week, on a baseball field this time of year and in the summer and in the fall, trying to get back through the sport that has been so good to me.
What did you find? What were maybe one thing or two things that you saw out there that you didn't like, Matt, that made you want to just do it yourself?
Well, it's a money thing, you know. Unfortunately, youth sports has become big business, and I don't know that I should say unfortunately. It just is what it is. And we charge in our program. You know, I've got a lot of coaches that coach with me that need to be compensated for their time, myself included. It takes time away from my family, so how do I justify that? So we do it on the lower end, and kind of pride ourselves on the quality of instruction and coaching that we have. But that's an accountability thing. My coaches and people around me have to hold me accountable. I've got to hold them accountable, make sure that we don't fall into the same kind of rat race as everything else, and just try to be different. One thing I'm pretty good at and kind of have been my whole life is I don't get caught up worrying too much about what everybody else does. I want to do it my way, and you know, it's not going to be for everybody, but it's how I think it should be done. And I sleep pretty good at night doing things the way we've done it, so I feel good about it. I don't like seeing 10, 11, 12-year-olds kind of everything is the end result, and that pressure put on them at that young age. The reality is 0.001 percent of 10-year-olds playing in the country are ever going to get paid to play. So why are we putting that kind of pressure on them at that age? You know, and we're driving good kids away from the game. I think the major league game is going to suffer from that, because you're seeing some of the best athletes go to other things because coaches, parents are putting so much pressure on them to be successful. You know, and I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that the kids shouldn't work at what they're trying to do and they shouldn't try to get better. But the end-all, be-all can't be the result. It can't be, you know, I didn't hit 500. I'm not any good. I didn't win all my games. I'm not any good. No. Did you get better than you were? Did you make improvements? We've got two rules with our teams, and that's attitude and effort. You give me the best attitude you can give me. Or I should say, you give me a good attitude and the best effort you can give me, and the results don't really matter. That includes practice. Give me effort and practice, and it's going to translate to games. You know, we had that conversation last night after two teams' practices. I had the same conversation with both of them. One of them a 12-year-old team, one an 11-year-old team. You know, the results haven't followed us so far in the early parts of the season and the first couple of tournaments, and so guys, we can't expect the results to be there, because when we come out to practice, y'all are more concerned with, you know, what cleats this guy has, or, you know, laughing while you're waiting on ground balls, or while, you know, you're in line for a drill, like just cutting up. We can have fun. I love to have fun as much as anybody, but we've got to focus a little bit, and we've got to pay attention to when the coach is talking to one player, you've got to pay attention to that because it's very likely that it's going to be applicable to your game as well. And then if the coach has to repeat the same message to you, that's 5 minutes that we could have been doing something else. So we talk about a lot of stuff like that.
That's really interesting. Matt Capps of the Pirates broadcast team joining us here on the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. You can jump in, text the word NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. We're well past 200,000 meals donated. And you can hop on at any point and make that happen either through that text number or the call center, 412-663-5664. Or through the Metropolitan Window Company online donation center, 937thefan.com, our Feed the Need page. And you should know that every $1 you give can help provide three meals for families, children, and seniors. I'll hit you with one baseball question before we part ways, Matt, and I'll go right to the closer. David Bednar, what do you think, what kind of season is he headed for? Is there anything new in his arsenal? Does he just need to do what he's been doing?
Well, the most important thing is he was a fantastic catcher for the first pitch on Saturday night at Lee Comm Stadium. I thought he did a great job, gave a great target, looked good behind the plate, and he caught the ball. Just kidding, by the way. I was asked to throw out the first pitch, and I thought it was really cool that he wanted to come out, and very appreciative that he did come out and catch it for me. But when I look at David Bednar pitch, you know, and I was just talking about it. Did you get better? then you started. When you're at that level, it's about maintaining consistency. When I watch him pitch, when he's consistent and in his routine, he's as good as anybody you're going to see. So I think becoming more consistent with his routine, you know, the handful of times that I really kind of saw him off his game last year, you know, there were outside circumstances that came into play. You know, he's asked to do some tough things, him and Will Crow both, you know, with what Will Crow did the first half of the season last year. I mean, he was just abused and he held up, which was amazing to me. You know, the results kind of fell the second half, August, September, especially, but for a guy that was his first time as a reliever, I thought he had a spectacular year. I know you didn't ask me about Will. I'm getting back to David. You know, you kind of saw a lull in his stuff after he threw three full innings in St. Louis. What was that, July? And that's common. I mean, kind of expected that. I think everybody expected that. But, you know, it was a good time to do a move like that. The team was kind of on a slide, and they really needed to get a win for morale. And, you know, my favorite thing about David Bednar is he took the ball and he wasn't going to give it up. You know, I don't think Shelty or anybody in that dugout could have pulled him out of the game without losing some teeth. Just love the competitor in him. He's got plus stuff. Breaking ball looked good in spring training. I mean, what he did in the World Baseball Classic was spectacular. I think it's just being consistent day in, day out, finding that routine, getting settled in with that routine. He's still a young major league pitcher, just a couple of years under his belt. But I sure do love watching him pitch, and I hope to see him get 70 saves this year. I think that'd be incredible.
Ooh, that's a big, big number. Former Pirates closer.
Don't,
yeah, I mean, you're not saying that's going to be true.
No pressure. Don't publish that number. I just
you know, just love to see it. That's all.
He's fun to watch. I enjoy watching him work.
Former Pirates closer Matt Capps, now Pirates broadcaster. You'll hear him throughout the season and opening day in Cincinnati tomorrow. Baseball season is upon us. Thanks so much for taking the time, Matt. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That's Matt Capps. And coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have Cody Sable join us in studio. He's got a really great promotion going on. You know his work. I'm sure you've seen it on social media, a bunch of other places. Really talented painter, finger painter, has done things for numerous athletes and numerous outlets. So he'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock. This is the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon here on 93.7 The Fan. You can donate by calling 412-663-5664. That's 412-663-5664. You can also text to give. You can text the word NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.